Welcome, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I have a feeling there may be a lot of new listeners because this week we've had a lot of attention on us. Looks like we were slashdotted just yesterday, Nate.
What? When did that happen?
How?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of people who found out about us who didn't know earlier. So for those who want to recap or just want to hear it fresh anyway, it's August 7th. We do this show every week, Sunday night at 7 p.m. here on KFNX in the Valley, Phoenix, Arizona. Sometimes I sound more excited than I do now. I don't know why. I'm just mellow today. But we've got actually a ton of stuff to do today, and it's one of those shows when I wish we had an extra hour, and unfortunately we don't. Hanging on the line, we'll bring in a little bit later in the show two people. First of all, there's Ryan Sharp. He is the president and founder of the Get Well Gamers Foundation. If anyone knows about Penny Arcade's efforts to a Christmas charity that they run called Child's Play that gets games and systems and basically just the love of video games into the hands of children in hospitals, children who could really use it because they don't have too much going for them at that time when they're sitting around in a hospital trying to be cured from cancer or whatever they have. Anyway, Ryan started a similar organization that works year-round to do this, and so I want to talk to him. He's also very interested in speaking with us because he knows that we're going to talk about the Jack Thompson interview that we did last week. Now, also on the line, we have Mark Warner, the president and CEO of Nexus Entertainment. They produced Total Annihilation for the PC, which was actually a very, very popular game, not very recently, but during its time, not so far in the past. So we're going to talk to both of them and get to hear what they have to say about Jack Thompson and anything else really that they want to talk about. So do we want to jump right into the Jack Thompson discussion, Nate? Or
We could.
It's pretty much all we've been doing all day.
Yeah.
Kind of like last week, we're a little bit burnt out on it, but it's stuff we have to do because it's really amazing. I don't know if anyone listening has, well, I would assume some people who are listening have
heard a little bit about this.
Downloaded the interview. It's what Slashdot thought was interesting enough to put us up there for. So it's 80 minutes, and that's why we're not going to play the whole thing on the air today because our show is like half that long. So anyway, we have cut a bunch of what I feel are interesting bits from it, and we'll be covering those in a minute.
Fortunately, there were too many as we were cutting it together today.
Yeah, we're down to the wire cutting this stuff and getting it ready for the show. So I guess what we should do is actually bring on Ryan and Mark just to talk about who they are for a second before we go to break and start the Jack Thompson thing, sort of give me a break from thinking about Wacko Jacko. All right, so Ryan, you're here, right?
Yep.
All right, so tell me a little bit about the Get Well Gamers Foundation that you put together.
Well, the Get Well Gamers Foundation is basically meant to be a national recuperative tool for children's hospitals because studies have shown and all the doctors and nurses and hospital administrators, you know, will be able to tell you that one of the best pain management techniques, and in some cases the best pain management techniques for helping young children keep their minds off of the pain that they're experiencing during chemotherapy or, you know, preoperative jitters or any of that, is to give them video games because it gives them something to engage their minds intellectually besides, I hurt, I've got needles in me, you know, I'm going to be having surgery performed on me soon, you know, all these terrible thoughts. And instead it can be, you know, oh, get the power up, oh, watch the gap, oh, look out. You know,
see, I have actually a funny story here. A long time ago, and I'm deadly afraid of needles, and I'm 26, right? But I can't handle them. When I was like early 20s, I had to get blood drawn, and it was the first time in memory that I've ever had to get blood drawn. And they say, think about something else, right? So I turned my head, and actually, I thought about Killer Instinct, which is one of my favorite games, right? And so that's what got me through that 30 seconds when I had to deal with a needle. So I can understand exactly what you're saying, although it's not nearly as pronounced as I'm sure these kids have to deal with.
Right. I mean, some of the hospitals that we've been to multiple times, like one of the hospitals we've been to, I've seen the same kid there in the cancer ward three times so far. And, you know, the nurse tells me, you know, he just, you know, it's such a depressing atmosphere here, and there's really nothing that you can that can cure it. But when you guys bring that new Game Gear or that new PlayStation or whatever, you know, he's just a normal kid again, and he's enjoying himself, and he's playing against the game, you know. These kids spend enough time just fighting off death, fighting off mobsters or aliens, you know. That's a better experience for them.
Sounds like it'd be much easier
to
handle. So what methods do you have to actually raise money or get the things that you need to bring to the hospitals?
Not many, unfortunately.
So what can we do to help?
Well, really, the best thing is just to get the word out, because gamers, by and large, are, you know, nice people, except for when you beat them in a real tournament. You know, they're generous. I mean, Child's Play last year raised, what, $300,000?
All I remember is that the numbers were astronomical.
Yeah, they got a lot of money.
Totally unexpected, the amount of money that they raised.
I mean, so really, I just think our only barrier is that people don't know about us, because I found gamers are generous enough as it is. You know, we don't need to cajole them or guilt trip them or anything. They're just naturally good people.
Now, do you accept donations of old video games or just money?
Oh yeah, that's the part where Child's Play and us kind of yin yang each other, because they take, if you've got new stuff, send it to Child's Play. If you've got old stuff, send it to us, because we take stuff all the way back to the old Super Nintendos.
All right. So where can the listeners get more information about the Get Well Gamers Foundation?
Well, you can start at our website, which is www.get-well-gamers.org.
All right.
And it tells you, you know, how you can donate, what you can donate, where to send it, and everything.
Everything they need to know.
Yep.
All right, good. I did actually look at the site a couple days ago. I couldn't remember if it had the hyphens or not, so thank you for clarifying.
The site's actually a little bit out of date, because our web guy who does everything pro bono is moving across the country, so he hasn't been able to update it for a few weeks.
All right. Well, you know, people still get the point across.
Yeah.
They know what they can do, and that's really important.
Right.
So if anyone out there listening, and it's, I guess, sort of convenient that we hopefully have a greater listenership today, it would be great if you visited getwellgamers.org and did what you could to contribute. And I know that a lot of you probably already have during Child's Play as well. This is year-round, though, and like he said, you can donate things that you could not give to Child's Play because they don't accept anything used. So on the line we also have Mark Warner. So I'm going to talk to him. You're there, Mark?
Yes, I am.
All right, so tell me a little bit about yourself and your company.
All right. Well, first thing I need to do is make a correction, which is that we did not have anything to do with Total Annihilation.
Why do I think that you did?
Because on my website is something about Total Annihilation, because I was trying to get the rights to make the sequel.
Oh.
I also run the premier community fan site, which is tauniverse.com.
All right, so I'm totally busted.
So, but I need to clarify that, because people who made Total Annihilation was Chris Taylor and Cave Dog, which is now gone, and Chris is up doing gas-powered games. But I don't want anybody to think I was trying to steal his thunder there.
Oh, no, I'll take all the angry emails for you. Don't worry about that.
You know, I almost wanted to say something today, but I figured you would have checked it.
You know, I just came on and I looked at it, and Ryan said something to me earlier, and I was kind of thinking something else. I was talking to my kid, and I really didn't understand what Ryan was saying. I just looked at the website, and I went, uh-oh, that's bad.
I could have changed the website if you told me in advance. You guys hang me up to dry.
Okay, my company is Nexus Entertainment, founded back in 2000 with the intention to try to get the rights from then Infograms to make Total Annihilation 2. Long story short, that never worked.
That would probably be even harder now that Infograms doesn't exist and now Atari does, but they sort of don't.
Even when it moved over to Atari, we still continued to work with them, but they wanted an outrageous amount of money, and I didn't have any money, and, you know, back and forth. And now Chris Taylor and Gas Powered Games is working on Supreme Commander, which, you know, for anybody who cares, will be Total Annihilation 2. So I'm sure the Total Annihilation franchise name is effectively dead.
All right. Now, have you worked on any games in the past that were not Total Annihilation?
Not, you know, my history has been actually begging for money to make, you know, the games that we want to make. Everybody who works for me works for free in their spare time, so it's a second or, you know, third priority job for a lot of these people. Although I do have a lot of people, you know, around the country and actually around the world who are, you know, working on stuff. Big thing is trying to get funding to, you know, make it, you know, make the things happen. I've been trying to get the license to do, I'll just go ahead and say it, Stargate MMO game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, locked up in negotiations with somebody else. And you guys picked up on your website that the Stargate SG-1 for Xbox and PC was recently canceled.
Yeah, that's actually through RSS feeds of other people's news.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's in your RSS. Okay, yeah, well,
care of GameSpot.
Yeah, so, you know, and I've already talked to MGM again, and, you know, so we'll see what happens with that. And I'm working to actually go to NCSoft to take my own original IP into production for an MMO through them. So I've got things going, but my biggest thing is, you know, funding.
All right, great. Well, we need to go to break. We're going to come back, and then we will start, well, Jack Thompson. That's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned, everybody. We will be back in just a few minutes after these messages. This is Chatterbox.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Hey, we're back, everybody. Oops. All right,
very
so before we
continue, radio
yeah, we try. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio for those not already initiated. We want to tell you about UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, is where you should go, or one of the places you could go. I say the place you should go. To learn about how to get into the game industry by becoming a producer, by becoming an artist, by becoming a developer, whatever you want to do, you can learn there.
They got
UAT.
It all there.
Yeah. Go to uat.edu. We love it because we did it.
2 out of 3 people went there.
That's yeah. right. I'm going right now.
We never even said Tracy was here in the studio. Hey, Tracy.
I'm just hiding.
All right. So we're going to start the Jack Thompson discussion. But before we do, I also want to mention, although I did screw up about Mark Warner and the company that he runs, or the game that he made, rather, or didn't make, the reason that we have him here today is because he is part of the IGDA. He runs, I guess, the Orange County chapter of the International Game Developers Association. And he's also a judge for the Independent Games Festival and has a lot of knowledge about the game industry and games and development and such, which is why we brought him on here to discuss Jack. All right. Was I wrong about any of that stuff, Mark?
No, that's good.
Oh, killer. All right. That's 1 for 2. I'm okay. All right. So we're going to start. The way we're going to do this, the format is this. We are going to play a short clip. It could be 30 seconds. It could be a minute. We'll know when it ends. And then we'll talk a bit about it. I would love to just talk over it a la Mystery Science Theater, but that would sound horrible. So let's go. Let's go with number one here.
Sure enough, 1 week later, Columbine happened.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll just quote the aforementioned Law & Order show in which the question from one of the cops was, are you saying that kids are copycatting video games? He said everybody's known that since Columbine.
Okay, so that was Jack in reference to, well, he was talking about a lot of stuff. Like that Law & Order episode with Ice-T, which he was saying was a little ironic because he tried to get Ice-T shut down years ago for a cop killer.
I'm great that he's quoting a television show for
yeah,
his
Nate
deep
finds
facts.
That fascinating.
Yeah.
So my point here is the copycat word that he used. He's saying that everybody knows they've been copycatting video games. But what about, you know, TV and the cop killer track and movies and everything? Why is it obvious that they're copying video games and not everything else? How do you feel about that, Ryan?
It's obvious that they're copying video games because that's what will help further his career the most at this point.
You know, a lot of people have said that. A lot
He's
of people
after the spotlight.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if I actually called him an ambulance chaser during the interview. I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
It was on my notes.
We talked about it off air, though.
Yeah, we wanted to. But do you have anything special to say about this, Mark?
Oh, well, unfortunately, I have lots to say, so I'm going to try to be as nice and politically, you know, correct as I can be.
All right.
I do think that he is on a crusade. And that, you know, he's chosen video games as well as some other people, including, you know, Senator Yee here in California and many others. Copying video games, I think, is just an excuse because, like you guys just mentioned, we've got television, we've got movies, we've got books, comic books. I mean, you name it, every form of media that's out there has this aspect, or has components that have this aspect in it. So to point the finger at a video game and say, these two disturbed kids played a video game and then thought that they'd go act it out, you know, and kill their friends, is ridiculous.
Now, in his defense, I'm going to play another bit here where he sort of explains why interactive stuff is worse. And I can sort of imagine that, and I think we can sort of all agree that being interactive perhaps has a closer connection with our brains and stuff. But, like, obviously, I don't want to dismiss the other things, and that's the problem I have. But let's skip right to three. Some people are too young to understand or be willing to admit that something they do, you know, might be linked to something bad. But I think the problem that a lot of people are having with the scandal right now is that it seems like you're attacking their entertainment of choice, and they feel personally attacked by it, or, you know, that you're focusing, saying, well, really, it's video games that are ruining it, and since you're not mentioning all the other stuff at the same time, that you're saying, oh, well, television's okay, and, you know, songs are okay, and all this stuff, and video games are really the big problem. And,
well, let me defend myself on that. If I were to go after all media, there'd be a problem. One is I'd have to clone myself. You know, I can't do everything, and don't want to. You kind of have to pick your spots. Secondly, I do think interactive media, for the aforementioned reasons, is more dangerous. And thirdly, I need to point out that the problem isn't video games. The problem is certain kinds of video games.
So there you have it. He does understand there's a difference between a few different things, but he also mentions, you know, it, or implies at least, that he would love to go after everybody. He just, you know, he doesn't have that many hands. So I just wanted to point that out. There's a lot of stuff that's been going around the net. Everybody in the game industry and every fanboy out there wants to hate him because they don't get a clear idea of what he's saying. And the beauty of our interview here is that it lets him go on. I was kind of upset with myself for not pushing him a little harder and asking enough questions and just letting him get on a soapbox, basically. But I feel that it did a really good job of getting across his points in an untruncated way. And that was important because people haven't had the chance to hear that. I do want to also play number two here, which will express something else that I think is fair to hear.
I think what we're seeing is that there's a potential for harm here. And let me quickly add, there's also a potential for tremendous good. There's no question that interactive media are a tremendous teaching tool. But like any technology, it can be used for good or ill. And let me just add here, and we can talk more about this, but the notion that there are no studies that directly prove a link between violent entertainment and teen violence is nonsense.
So he then goes on to explain, you know, name study after study after study without actually discussing their points. You know, that they say there's a direct causal relationship between video games and the violence in the world. But then, and I'm hoping that maybe one of you two has a little bit more insight here. I've also read people talking about how violence has decreased in the last couple of years among the younger generation and stuff. So, I mean, do any of you have something to say?
I do.
All right, go for it.
Well, first of all, about the studies, it's like, somebody show me these studies. You know, I mean, seriously, email me, getwillgamers@gmail.com, no hyphens or anything. I mean, given that Jack is such a skilled manipulator of words, I mean, that is, after all, half of what lawyers deal with is the skillful manipulation of words, I'm willing to bet these hundreds of studies that he cites to over and over show at best a casual correlation between things that could only be considered damning, at the most illogical of extrapolations. I've seen some of the studies bandied about in the past, and there's as much causal connection as there is to cows sitting down makes it rain, because any farmer will tell you that right before it rains, cows sit down. Is there a correlation? Sure. Does the altitude of a bovine's ass have anything to do with the weather? No.
I love you. Yeah, and so that's the problem that people have. But you're right. Like, I have not looked into every study here, and he spent a lot more time studying this issue, so it was sort of difficult to argue some points when we were running this interview.
I think it was less studying and more searching for stuff that heads his way, because I've got a collection, you know, for the, because for being a charity, I have to really prove what I do to everybody. So I've got a collection of articles, Scientific American, Discover Magazine, you know, all these places that I will gladly provide proof of that show that video games, you know, are increase cognitive ability, they increase your awareness, but the whole theory of, you know, training them as murder simulators is the biggest crock of hooey I've ever heard in my entire life.
He loves the word simulator. He used it so many times during the
murder simulator, murder simulator, right.
Well, when you say that, then it's, if it's a simulator, it's not quite considered under the First Amendment, and then it's not an expression of art, and then it can be easily banned. So
yeah,
that's kind of his bandwagon.
Nate has all this stuff to say. Like, he was telling me about this earlier today, but I don't get it because I haven't seen these laws. But I guess being a simulator, like Nate's saying, is slightly different than being a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if they push that it's a simulator over and over and over, it might get some of the senators and
because people
to believe
it. Because a simulator is meant to train.
Yeah, and then I guess can just be unequivocally bad. I don't know. We're going to go to break again, have a little bit of other news, and then we'll come back and talk more about this stuff. So stay tuned, everybody. We will be back once again. This is Chatterbox.
Are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, for more Chatterbox and Jack discussion. So let's get right into it. What were we just covering there? The, you know,
that whole bunch of hooey.
Yeah, bunch of
the bunch of hooey. There we go.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to move tracks anyway, rather than continue what we were just discussing, which was more like, why doesn't he complain about TV and everything else? Number four is actually interesting, so we'll go to that. What is your ultimate goal with everything that's going on with the litigation and all that? Are you trying to get violent games just abolished completely or limit their purchasability? What exactly are you trying to get as an end result?
Well, I would love for America to go to what is the UK system, and that is you put a certificate on a game indicating it's not appropriate for minors, and then, as a matter of fact, you don't sell it to them. It's that simple.
So there you have it. I also happen to agree with him.
It's a very reasonable, you know,
ideal. It's a reasonable suggestion, and I go on to explain that when I worked at EB Games and GameStop in the past, that there was no steadfast rule, you can't sell an M game to a 15-year-old. There just wasn't. GTA came along, and they said, hey, you know what? Don't sell that to kids. You have to check that they're 17. But there wasn't a don't sell M games. And if there was, it wasn't enforced. They didn't care. They just, you know, only the real bad ones you wouldn't sell to kids. And that was up to the judgment of whoever was selling it. But how do you guys feel about this? Do you think we really should, like, it should become illegal to sell the game to kids?
ESRB. And everybody who makes a game now goes to the ESRB and gets a rating. And all of the retailers have previously agreed to sell in accordance with the ESRB ratings. Now, that doesn't stop your local EB, you know, guy behind the counter from selling his friend or his friend's little brother GTA. But it is in place. And everybody agreed, you know, that this is a good system. It's a self-regulated system, and we've put it in place. So we have people looking at the games. We have people rating them. And then we have retailers saying, okay, we're not going to sell, and in many cases, we're not even going to stock certain types of games. So I think we've got a system in place. What we don't have is we don't have a way to go back and say, you violated a law, and you sold a rated AO game to a 14-year-old. And I don't know if we necessarily need that, because I think parents should be involved as well, but we do have something in place.
Yeah, unfortunately, his complaint, and this is something that I was saying I agreed with him on, is that it, even though it's in place, I don't think it's really worked so far. And that's why during the interview I say that, yeah, you know, if it hasn't worked so far, I'm not so against the idea of a law. I would rather we not have to have it, have the law, and that people just did, you know, what was more ethical. And that is, you know, avoid getting this into the hands of the 12-year-old that comes in. But I just, seeing it firsthand, or rather not seeing the restriction firsthand, I tend to say it wouldn't be a horrible idea to just make the rule that, hey, you're going to get in trouble.
But why regulate games more than movies or music?
The movies are regulated.
Yeah. No, but there's no fine.
There's no law saying you can't sell it. There's no, like you said, there's no fine.
Right. There's no follow-up. A movie theater does not get in trouble, does not have a legal repercussion because a 14-year-old went in to see an NC-17 movie.
I thought there was.
No. It's the same thing.
All right. See, I think the analogy should be there. I think it definitely should be dealt with the same way. And, if they need to impose a fine on the theaters and us, then go for it. Right? But it definitely there should be equal treatment there.
Can I raise my hand here?
You go for it.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay. I think that the main problem isn't so much the, like, kind of like the end user, I guess, that lets the movie, lets the young kid into the R movie or sells the young kid the M game. I think the problem is, like, Jackson probably never worked retail, so he doesn't know the horror of the store-level manager. Because store-level managers from Albertsons to Zales are generally a bunch of spineless weasels who would rather walk over hot coals rather than side with their employees. So when you get ignorant soccer mom who's screaming at you, don't tell me what to buy for my kids, even though you're trying to tell them Leisure Suit Larry may not be appropriate for their 12-year-old, the manager will, 99% of the time, force you to complete the sale. Given this kind of attitude and treatment, retailers are pretty much disinclined to speak up because it will only lead to unnecessary hassle, and at the end of the day, they're still getting paid a crappy wage. What is needed is not interference at the government level, but strict policy on the corporate level. I mean, the ESRB does its part. You can't swing your arms in a Blockbuster or a GameStop without hitting one of their displays. But if the employees don't care about the ratings around enforcing them, then their usefulness is zilch. At that point, the only people who will be following the ESRB ratings will be those that are already aware of them. And if you know that much about video games, you're probably smart enough to tell the difference between fantasy and reality, first off. And secondly, you're also probably aware enough about video games to realize that there are games which you should allow your children to play and games you should not. The people that need the attention of the store's employees and are not getting it are the parents that, by and large, still refer to all video games as those Nintendo things and think they haven't progressed since they saw Ms. Pac-Man in a pizza parlor back in the 80s.
All right, breathe.
It was a great point.
I'm passionate.
It was. I know you're totally reading that from an essay you wrote or something, but it's everything's very valid. I sort of have different feelings about retail level, but it's not so important.
But even at retail level, I mean, also, don't forget to throw in the parents.
Yeah, and that's a really important part, and Nate covered that.
That's kind of my thing. I mean, it's really up to the parents to decide, you know, what their kids are going to play. You know, I mean, why should they get to say,
well,
like, you know, whatever.
Plague of Egypt.
What was that?
In America, they treat personal responsibility like the 11th plague of Egypt.
Yeah, it doesn't really come into play too much. But one of the issues here is that if there isn't a rule preventing children from buying it, then parents are sort of put aside because the kid can buy the game and then he can play it much more easily, you know, without the parents knowing about it. And that's where I have to sign on and say, yeah, you know, that's where there should be a restriction. And if you say that they're really, the ESRB has worked with these companies to limit the sale, then, you know, I want to take your word for it, but I just never saw it in action.
I think there should be a rule, yes, but I think it should be at the corporate level, not the federate level. Like,
well, yeah, and I agree with that.
The Interactive Entertainment Merchants Association, you know, the guys that kind of make sure all the boxes are the same size and everything, that kind of like the standards board for video games, in, I think, virtually every single one of their stores, they will not sell any games that don't have ESRB ratings on them. So I think we need something, some kind of, you know, if you want us to stock your games or if you want to get games from us, then you need to be following these rules, and if you do not enforce them, then we will pull our product. We need to make the companies care from a financial level, sad though that may be.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. And actually, there's another point that I wanted to bring up that Jack discusses and is really adamant about. And unfortunately, we have so little time, and there's other clips unrelated to this issue that I want to get to, so we're going to do those. But he makes the point that the ESRB is sort of in bed with the video game companies because they're the ones paying the ESRB to make these ratings. And so, like I said, we don't have time to get into this argument, but we do need to think about the connection of the ESRB to the game companies rather than being an independent organization.
Well, let me just say that has been said many times before, and if you look at it the right way, yes, you can agree with that and say it's true, but the ESRB came out of the industry as a self-regulating method to avoid federal laws. And even though they may get paid from the game companies, it's not a we paid you, so give our game a certain rating.
ESRB, they do it to protect themselves from situations like the past 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what I pointed out. But we're going to move on. I have a million things that I'm going to play. Number 7, you have to hear. I hope we have time to run this whole thing. Please run number 7, Andrew.
Now comes Take Two to make things even worse for the industry to come out with a bully game. And I'm telling you, parents across the country are going to say, you know what? That's it. That's the last straw.
You're right. But my problem with this entire commentary is that it has nothing to do with the problem. We're just talking about the success of the company.
What do you mean it has nothing to do? What problem
the bully
are you
game,
worried about?
The bully game existing and the content in it, that's an issue. But why are you so concerned with whether or not the company will succeed or fail? That's not the issue at hand. It's whether or not they're creating this content. And
there are sociopaths everywhere. Some of them are in government. Some of them are at Take-Two. In fact, we got a bunch of sociopaths in Edinburgh, Scotland, sitting around in kilts, sipping their single malt whiskey, spreading racial hurtful stereotypes in this country.
Oh, of course, Reddit stereotypes like people wearing kilts and drinking whiskey.
I'm giving you an image there of the ludicrousness of a bunch of Scots over in Edinburgh, and I'm of Scottish ancestry.
I really wish I could have heard your voices. I assume you were laughing.
Backpedaling big time.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that? Ryan first.
Well, first of all, this ties into it, but back when he was running into Janet Reno, he accused her of being homosexual, you know, and that's awesome. And now he's making racist comments about Scottish people, and he's proven many, many times that he's a liar. You know, so we've got a homophobic, bigoted liar. Yeah, I want him leading my crusade.
Wait a second, he is Scottish. Doesn't that make it okay?
I'm Scottish too, and I think he's an ass.
All right, I want to take this moment to let everybody know. I got a private message from someone through our forums today who said, you know, I wrote some emails to Jack, and he responded to me, and you really should hear these responses. One of them was, and this is a 24-year-old gamer who wrote him, he said, one of the responses was, you should go play a suicide simulator and get really good at it.
That's a response from Jack to...
Yes. Now, wait a minute. This is completely uncorroborated. This guy told me he wrote it in an email, and he couldn't... He said he deleted it. But he did forward me several other emails, which were not nearly as interesting, and I'm very disappointed that he claims to have deleted that one, which would have been so damaging to Jack. But I'm just going to take his word for it right now because I want to, and I believe it based on the other emails he sent me, because he was... Jack, I did see an email Jack wrote to him telling him to go auto-stimulate himself to a game. And, like, he just uses a lot of childish terms. And I saw a picture of this guy on Wikipedia. He looks like he's 75, and he's talking like he's 15.
Yeah, and I'd like to, you know, there's a lot of sociopaths everywhere, and that includes, you know, crusading lawyers as well.
Exactly.
And, I would love to see just one email, just one, of anybody out there listening who has had an actual intelligent conversation with him over email.
Yeah, that's not going to happen because he gets 5,000. They'll threaten to kill him. He must get upset, and I can understand getting upset reading his emails, but you don't have to put a lot of that anger into writing.
You don't have to go down to their level.
He's a lawyer, and he knows better. But we got more to cover, so we're going to do it in the last segment. We'll be back in just a couple minutes after these messages.
How
hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Now, as I said before, we've got probably a lot of new listeners because of our recent exposure. Now, I also put up on the website recently that Julie Stouffer, who was on our show a couple weeks ago, she's a host of Electric Playground on G4, has decided that she would like to be a co-host of the show with us, and we, of course, had already we already invited her to be on the show, so she's going to be. This week, she's not here with us, but she will be in the future. She's now an official fixture on the show, and I didn't want to avoid the subject after putting it up on the website, so I mentioned it. Yeah, I've avoided giving out the phone number because I knew that we would have too much to discuss this week, but... returning next week is the opportunity for people to call in, and the number's on the website, and of course we'll repeat it during the show next week. It's 866-536-1100 if you really feel like dialing the phone. Anyway, we got to get back into this. I promised one of these guys that we were going to play a bit about EA, because that's a really important part of the interview. So, Andrew, if you could run number 9, I'd appreciate it.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Nate.
So, basically, I just want to ask you what your thoughts about EA and The Sims, and exactly what were your concerns about it?
That there are mods that are out there that are freely available on the internet that make the characters anatomically correct or anatomically bizarre. And it would be an illegal act for you to sell, for example, to a minor those images. The additional problem with the Sims game is that there is sexual content. It says it right on the descriptor that it contains sexual content, and everybody knows that. The problem here, then, is that you basically have a collaboration between Electronic Arts and the mod community, including adult porn sites, that are allowing you to modify the content of the game. And the problem with that is a copyright problem. You've got these adult porn sites using the name Sims. That is an infringement on the copyright of Electronic Arts. Also, the use of the code in the game to modify the code and turn it into graphic sexual content or images is an infringement of EA's copyright. The problem with all of that, then, is you've got a collaboration going on in the open between Electronic Arts and the porn industry to modify the game. It's a copyright problem, the extent of which is that if EA doesn't start enforcing its copyrights, they will lose their copyrights. Copyright law is very interesting. You have to protect your copyrighted material, or you basically kiss it away. And when you have Will Wright, the creator of the game, repeatedly saying he encourages the mod community to modify the game, then he's basically giving a green light to all the mods. And that's the problem. The problem isn't with the content of the Sims game per se. The problem is that you've got this illicit collaboration going on that may actually sink to the level of a conspiracy in a legal sense to distribute pornography to children, and I think that's why this was dealt with seriously, and I was interviewed extensively in the Wall Street Journal this past week. There was a serious article about it on CNNMoney.com and so forth. So the characterization of this as Jack Thompson saying that the Sims game is obscene is simply not fair. It's that you've got Electronic Arts participating in the wholesale violation of its copyrights in order to distribute porn mods, which make the game more attractive financially to them because you've got people buying it for that purpose.
Ryan, don't explode.
Go. Oh, my God.
Ryan, go.
Okay. Oh, God. I would love to see that memo, you know. There are these porn sites wanting our game to turn into Kama Sutra 3D. But we're totally cool with that. In fact, we're supporting them. In fact, did you know that before I heard Jack Thompson, I was not aware that the U.S. government supported terrorism? Because, see, in pipe bombs and other improvised explosives, a lot of people use pennies. You know, it's small, it's metal, you get it flying fast enough, it's a bullet. And according to Jack, a manufacturer's responsibility extends infinitely beyond the point of sale. So, you know, if someone were to take those pennies and, let's say, mod them into bullets, that's the government's fault because they made the things that eventually became bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, you try and apply this logic, and I'm using the term in the loosest sense. I mean, do victims of the Oklahoma City bombing have grounds to sue fertilizer manufacturers? I mean, the manufacturers didn't stop Timothy McVeigh from using their products in an inappropriate and unsupported way, but that's clearly their fault, right?
Yeah. So this is where his discussion just broke down into lunacy, and it's great.
Are you effing nuts?
Yeah, the way he describes it and makes claims that just are clearly not true. And I didn't play the part. This is when Nate was talking to him, and then I came back and talked to him, and he basically flat out said, and this is a quote that actually made it onto Slashdot. I was so excited about it. That Will Wright wants EA to collaborate with the porn industry to modify their games.
It was God. Yeah, seriously. What kind of twit do you have to be to attempt to demonize Will Wright? How low does the IQ bar have to go before you look at a guy and say, the most violent thing he's ever done in his games is bulldozing an overpass, and he wants to work with the child pornographers? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and on that note, I'm going to have us play one more clip, which hopefully you'll see the irony. Let's go to number 10. Two people loving each other, and now we're getting it, you know, taken out of stores and restricted.
No, I'm sorry. You can't fault me for that. I'm the one who for 4 years, let's see now, longer than that, since 1999, have been on national TV preaching about the violence in the games.
So are you saying that The Sims is worse than San Andreas, or...?
I didn't see any nudity in the hot coffee mod, did you?
All right, so here I was asking him why he jumped on the bandwagon. Well, when the hot coffee mod came out... And,
why he jumped on it because of the sexual content.
Why he jumped into the news. Hot coffee mod came out. His website, Stop Kill, is all about violence in games, and not once does it mention anything about sexuality, nudity, adult sexual content. And
as soon spotlight.
As soon as the coffee mod comes out, which has to do with, as it started, my clip started, loving people, two people loving each other, why he jumped on it. He's like, that's not why I did it. I've been about violence for years. And then Nate asked him, said, well, is Sims worse? And he goes, yeah,
oh, totally.
Sims is worse because there were some boobs.
Yeah, it's without, you know, getting a defamation suit against all of us, you know, the guy's a complete moron. How he can make these correlations that he's making is ridiculous and ludicrous. It just makes no sense. I just don't see Bane Gordon sitting in his office going, Sims, porn, let's get these guys together and secretly do this where nobody's, you know, going to watch and come back to EA and claim this stuff. And then claiming that something with the word sim in it is going against their copyright. Sim is short for simulation, is not copyrightable anyway.
I find
that as a lawyer, he is more than knowledgeable enough to figure that out.
Yeah. Well,
he's not about to let facts get in the way of his crusade now, is he?
My whole complaint was that, you know, he was saying that if you don't enforce your copyright as a copyright holder, basically that you're ethically bound to enforce your copyright and that they're going to lose it if they don't enforce it. And you know what? If you make a copyright and you want to let people mod your stuff,
that's your choice.
Yeah. And I even said to him, and this is a part that we couldn't play because we ran out of time. I said, listen, you don't have to break the copyright. He's like, yeah, you do. They say they're making a mod for The Sims. I'm like, then say you're making a mod for your favorite family simulation game and it's not breaking copyright. And his argument here was so loose when so many of his other arguments were actually really solid. And I have to apologize. We're running out of time. The show is just about over. There's so much I wanted to cover.
We really need a second show on this if people don't get sick of it.
I just got to jump into my thank yous. Thank you guys so much for showing up on the show. I wish we could have done so much more. For anybody listening, we're going to be back next week. And if you want to talk about it, all you got to do is call and we'll keep going. I somehow get the feeling people are getting sick of this subject.
Yeah.
But I could run it for a
year.
We
still need to play some more of those bits, though.
I know.
That was so better.
It'll become our sound bites for years to come. Anyway,
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you very much, Ryan, for being on the show. I appreciate it more than you know.
Thank you.
And stay tuned for weeks to come when we'll have Julie with us, as well, of course, Nate and myself, and hopefully we'll live forever. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. We're going.